In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our guests. We're so happy that you're here. If you're here at St. Benedict's for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us, and we're happy to have you. There was a Hindu girl from India who was doing an exchange program in the States. And so she stayed with a nice American Christian family. And when Sunday came, it was time to go to church. And so, of course, she wanted to have the full immersion experience of American life. And so when they got to their Episcopal church on Sunday, and you know, the young girl saw all the crosses, and I'm sure it was right one, because they had Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Service is over, and the family, the mother asked the girl, says, you know, what do you think? Was this very different for you? Says, oh, it was totally different. I'm totally confused about you Americans. And the mother said, well, what is it when we stood up and sat down and knelt? He said, no. You mean the priest wearing all those vestments? No. He said, was it the candles on the altar? What was different? No. The smoke, the incense? No, none of that. I just don't understand you people. I don't know why you don't pray for the people in the West. He said, what do you mean the people in the West? He says, yes, you kept saying, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy East Coast. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy East Coast. What about the people in the West? We don't all understand the same thing, right? Today, the church invites us to think about the Trinity. It's Trinity Sunday. And I believe the reason we have this is because after 50 days of Easter and then Pentecost with the coming of the Spirit, Trinity Sunday kind of wraps it all up for us. It's the very mystery of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's what we think about when we think of God and the mystery of God. We're invited to really think today about the Godhead. Who is God? Because mathematically speaking, it never makes sense to say 1 + 1 + 1 = 1, right? Never makes sense. We say 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But theologically speaking, spiritually speaking, biblically speaking, when it comes to the Trinity, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. We believe in one God, we say in the Creed. And yet, as human beings, we try to make sense of that mystery. It's a lot to grasp. The mystery of the one God in three divine persons. But if you look at the way that we understand life as human beings, we tend to understand life in terms of history. You notice how today we had that beautiful reading, that long reading from the book of Genesis. And the Bible explains to us that God made the world. And in a very symbolic, spiritual, poetic almost type of way, Genesis describes the days of creation. It describes in a human way that God made everything. Now, how God made it, we really don't know. We know the biblical account of how it explains all of creation, but we also know through science and different theories that there are a bunch of theories out there about how we came to be. The one thing that is central to this teaching is that God made it all. God made it all out of nothing. And that He made us human beings in God's image and likeness. He made us in the very image and likeness of God. So when we think of the mystery of God as human beings, it is natural and that it's important for us to try to make sense of whose image and likeness we have been created in. Because we talk of the one God, and we say we believe in one God, but the fact is that that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. And when you look at the story of creation today, there's a tendency in us, especially as Christian believers, there's a tendency, and by the way, I want you to know that Christian denominations and Christian groups and Christian traditions have been fighting about all kinds of things for 2,000 years. But this is the one thing we all agree on, the Trinity. Matter of fact, you cannot call yourself a Christian, no matter what your denomination is. East, West, Roman, Anglican, doesn't matter where you're from. If you don't believe the Trinity, you're not really a Christian. So we all agree on this, which is amazing. There's one thing we all agree on, that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. But when you look at this reading in creation, you see that at the very beginning of creation, God was there. That God was the maker. We call him the creator, the maker, the source, the supreme being. We have so many different titles for the one God. But it is wrong to think that Jesus wasn't there and that the Spirit wasn't there. God was there. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Gospel of John, how does the Gospel of John begin? It begins by telling us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came to be because of him. So you see, the Spirit hovered above the waters. The Spirit was there. Jesus was there. God was there. In our understanding as human beings, it becomes kind of a historical thing. We say, well, first, God created us. And then, he sent his Son. And then, he went back to heaven and sent the Spirit. It seems kind of like a, right? Pretty clear history. You want to call it the history of God. But the fact is, God always is, God always was, and God always will be, because God is. So when we look at the mystery of God, we must look at the whole picture. Yes, God created us. Yes, God redeemed us. Yes, God sanctifies us. The Spirit of God sanctifies us. So we say God creator, the Father creator, the Son redeemer, the Spirit sanctifier. But at the end of the day, it's all the one God. And the day that we were baptized, as the gospel of Deacon Deborah just read for us, when we were all baptized, we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the way Jesus established baptism. That's the way we were mandated to do it. Go out and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you and I have been baptized in the name of that triune God. And that triune God, that trinity of persons, that oneness of God, it lives in us. God dwells in us. When we say we are temples of the Holy Spirit, we're saying we're temples of God. The Father, Son, and Spirit dwell in us by our baptism. And we share in the mystery of God. And when we become one with God through baptism, we believe that God is always with us. Now let's bring the Trinity home to our reality right now. Here we are as Christians in the 21st century. We go through the ups and downs of life. Sometimes there's big struggles, right? Sometimes we feel our faith is tested, right? Sometimes we feel we don't have the strength to do something, or the patience to do something, or the grace to do something. But I've got to tell you, God is with you. We believe that God is with us, that God dwells in us. And one of the things we must never forget is that even in the darkest, hardest times, God does not leave us orphans. God does not abandon us. Sometimes our feelings say otherwise. Sometimes the difficulty of our situations make us feel far from God. But the fact is, remember that you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Remember that God is with you and dwells with you. That's not just a biblical promise. It was reconfirmed and confirmed again by the apostles and those who followed them and those who followed them and those who followed them. And that faith and that truth has been handed down through the centuries to us. Sometimes we get stuck because when we can't grasp the mystery of life and the difficulties that occur, we get frustrated. In the last 48 hours, I've given the last rites to two people who are in their final hours of life battling cancer. And going to the home and anointing them and seeing their children's faces and the tears and the struggle. These are people of deep faith. But people who are really, really struggling with the mystery of the cross. And it's ultimately, it's the mystery of God, isn't it? It's the mystery of God. We can't grasp it. We try to make sense of it, but we have a hard time. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have all the time in the world, in eternity, to ask God all the questions you ever wanted to ask. All those whys that you have in your mind now, all those things that don't make sense, be patient. I promise you, eternity is a long, long time. I once heard a professor of mine, a philosophy professor, described eternity as two women saying goodbye to each other. But I can assure you, it's longer than that. Much longer. And when you're up there, you can ask why. All these things that don't make sense. These things we can't grasp. St. Augustine, one of the great minds of the early church, is said to have been walking in the ocean shore one day, and we don't know if this was a dream, a legend, or what, but he found a little boy, and the little boy was playing in the sand, and he had a seashell, and the little boy would look at the ocean and grab, you know, some water and put water in his little hole. And he went back and forth and did that several times. And the story goes that Augustine says to the little boy, little boy, what are you trying to do? He says, well, I'm going to get all that vast ocean that's out there. I'm going to stick it in my little hole here. I'm going to put it in the sand. And Augustine was, how are you going to do that? And the legend goes that the little boy's face lit up, transformed kind of like an angel. And looked up at Augustine and said, and how are you going to grasp the mystery of God in that little head of yours? Right? The fact is, there's a lot we don't know. And there's a lot we do not understand. We are limited creatures. But we believe in a creator that is unlimited. We believe in a God that cares for us, but doesn't just care for us. We believe that God knows all things and is capable of all things. And that's why in the midst of trying to grasp the mystery of the Trinity, don't just stay with the theology of the Trinity. I remember 23 years ago when I was ordained a deacon, I promised myself I would never use words or say things in church that my grandmother couldn't understand, my abuela, right? So I remember once being in seminary class and hearing the professor go on and on. I think we had one or two tests on this thing. On and on with this Greek word. Trinitarian perichoresis. Did you get it? It's Greek. Don't worry about it. It's Greek to me. What all that word means is that the perfect unity of God is an awesome mystery. That the oneness of God is an awesome mystery. The Father is one with the Son, and the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one, and the Spirit and the Son and the Father are one. And this perfect unity of persons, that's the God we believe in.
And the more you try to grasp the mystery of the three in one and the one in three and the whole thing, the more you try to make sense of it, the more confused you might get. But the good thing about it is, God knows what we don't know. And God is capable of what we are incapable of. So to have faith means to trust in the greatness of God and understand that God's ways are always better than our ways, and that God's ways are always broader than our ways, that our narrow way of thinking and our limited vision doesn't allow us to see beyond the limit of our sight, but God sees beyond the limit of our sight. And so having faith in the Trinity means having faith in the awesomeness of God and knowing that God can make sense of all things, even those things that are hard for us to grasp or to make sense of. We too try to stick the ocean in a little place. We try to take big concepts and fit them in here, and our limitations don't allow us to see with the clarity of God. And that's why as spiritual people, the best thing we can do as Christians, as followers of Jesus, and as people of faith, the best thing we can do is to surrender ourselves to the awesomeness and the greatness of God, and to know that God is in control. Many times people in difficult situations ask me, "Why, Father? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to that innocent person? Why the innocent victims of terrorism or hunger in the world? Why the injustice? Why the disease or the illness or the thing? Why? And I always think, only God knows why. It sounds like a very simple answer, but it's the only true answer. The mystery of God is very great, and we know so little. Faith means we trust in the greatness of God, and we put ourselves in God's hands, even when it's difficult. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.